advantage of those fans. Isn't that a great thing? Turn your Bibles, Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. I've been impressed to preach a message from this chapter tonight. Again, Numbers chapter 32. I don't know if you have learned this, but you are at the place of your Christian life because of decisions that you've made. It could be decisions that your parents made, I'll grant you that, but no one is where they're at because of luck. No one is there because just by happenstance it worked out that way. Somebody, and it was likely you, that made a decision that brought you to this place. So this idea of, I guess I was pretty lucky, that doesn't fit into God's plan. That doesn't fit into God's word. You will probably have to get it out of the Word of God because it's not in the Word of God. I'm saying to you, it's not luck, it's wise decisions that you've made. While you're turning there to Numbers 32, I always like to get you to smile just a bit. Might be the last time you smile. Do you know there was a story about Boudreaux? He was walking down the street the other day when Boudreaux saw his buddy Pierre. And he walked up to Pierre and he mentioned that he had the most bizarre dream the night before. And Pierre was very interested, and he said, tell me about that dream. And so Pierre, he said, you know, in the dream, I saw a giant number 5. He said it was sparkling, it was bright. And Pierre's curiosity was piqued, and Boudreaux went on to say the first thing he did in the morning was to grab the daily newspaper. And he looked at the 5th race of the horse race. Now, we're not promoting horse races tonight, but he looked at the 5th race, and the horse that won the 5th race, or was in the 5th race, is called the 5th element. Pierre's getting all excited. He said, you know, I felt lucky that morning. So he said, I had a 5-minute shower, and I ate 5 bowls of cereal, and I drank 5 cups of coffee. And he said, I drove to the racetrack, and he said, I parked in the 5th stall of the 5th row. By this time, Pierre is getting real excited. He said, yeah. And he said, I went up to find my seat, and I made sure I sat in the 5th section, in the 5th row, in the 5th stall. And he said, I put $555 on the 5th element in the 5th race. Well, by this time, Pierre had too much. He was on the edge of his seat, and he said, did you win? He said, no, he came in 5th. Could I say to you that you are the product of decisions that you've made? And really, one of the purposes of a camp meeting like this is to encourage you to make the right decisions. And the decision that we're going after tonight is go all the way for God. Don't go halfway, don't go 3/4 of the way. Too many in this generation are satisfied with going partway for God. And I'm saying to you, you want to go all the way. You will never regret going all the way for God. Now that you found Numbers 32, would you stand for a minute? It would help that blood to circulate. Numbers 32, I'd like to read, if you would follow as I read, verse number 1 and verse number 5. Look there in verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Verse number 5. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for each one that's here. We noticed some folks came in just the last minute. We appreciate everyone that's here. And Lord, I pray that you'd help every heart tonight to decide, I am going to go all the way for God. I know that many have already made that decision. Maybe tonight they need to reconfirm that. Because no doubt in the last months and the last years, they've had friends and family that have drawn a line and said, God, I'm not going any further. And Lord, honestly, regardless of what friends and family decide, we need to decide that I'm going all the way. Help us, Spirit of God, we are begging you to do a work in our hearts tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're maybe not familiar with this portion of the Bible, you know that God chose to bless the nation of Israel above every other nation. We know that God picked Abraham there in Genesis 11 and Genesis 12. And God said, I will bless you, your son, your son's son, that lineage. And we know that that was the nation of Israel. God said, as long as you will obey me, as long as you will follow me, I will bless you in everything that you do. But God said, you turn your back on me and I'll turn my back on you. May I say, God's got a bigger back than you or me. And for him to turn his back on us, heavy happens on that day. And so we know as the book of Genesis progresses, by the end of Genesis, you have a nation of Israel that is no longer walking with God as they once did. By the time we get into the early chapters of Exodus, they have moved into Egypt, and they have now become slaves in that foreign country of Egypt. They are being beaten. They are taken advantage of. They began to cry out to God that God would send them a deliverer, and we know that God answered that prayer by sending a man named Moses. And Moses not only delivered them from their bondage in Egypt, but Moses led them through the Red Sea, took them there to Mount Sinai, and it was God's plan that they go from Mount Sinai right to the southern border of Canaan and trust God and go in. You know, they didn't do that. When they got to that southern border of Kadesh Barnea, instead they sent 12 spies. 10 came back, said, we can't do it. And for that reason, God caused that nation to wander for 40 years. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan is that you not waste a day wandering in your Christian life. God wants you to get exactly to where he's designed for your life to be. But because they didn't trust God, they wandered. What we're coming to in Numbers 32 is this nation of Israel has now come around the Dead Sea, and they have now come to that Jordan River. Across that river, they can see that land that every Jew has looked forward to getting to. They can taste it. By this time, Moses, God has taken him out of the picture. And his replacement, Joshua, has stepped up to the bat. Joshua's anxious about leading this nation over that Jordan River into the promised land. He's so excited. But the Bible says that they, for whatever reason, they waited 3 days on this side of that Jordan River. And what we find in Numbers chapter 32 was a posse of men. They came walking up to Joshua, and they thought that they were going to give Joshua an irresistible offer. Look there in Numbers 32 again in verse number 1. Numbers 32 and verse 1, now the children of Reuben, so that was one tribe, and the children of Gad, that was a second tribe, had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Just understand what happened. In those 3 days that they are waiting to cross, they're looking around at the land on the east side of that Jordan, and they like what they see. And they begin talking amongst themselves and said, we're not really too sure. There's no guarantees of the kind of land that each of our tribes is going to get when we get in there. But we know what we could have if we stayed here. So those two tribes, Reuben and the tribe of Gad, they began talking amongst themselves and say, hey, we've got a great idea. Why don't we, as our two tribes, why don't we tell Joshua, the new leader, that we would just as soon stay here as we would cross over. Look again at verse number 5, Numbers 32 and verse 5. The Bible says, wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, Again, they're saying this to Moses, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. I'm sure that these two tribes said, what a deal. How could Moses turn this down? I mean, after all, if only 10 tribes go in instead of 12 tribes going in, all of that land only has to be divided between 10 instead of between 12. Made logical sense to them. They would get the land that they thought would be appealing, and the other 10 tribes would get more land if it was done this way. They were sure that Moses would be excited with this idea. But instead of Moses being excited with this idea, he was absolutely furious. And he was furious with them because he could see a desire in their heart and a decision in their heart not to go all the way for God. And Moses, having pastored now for 40 years, Moses had learned that you pay a terrible price when you don't go all the way for God. Now, I have pastored for 33 years. I don't know everything, and I don't even know half of everything. But I have had the joy of seeing lost people get saved and point their way God's way. What a blessing it is to watch that. I have watched families get on board with God, and God bless those families in a remarkable way. But I also, in these 33 years, have seen some Christians who seem to have done so well for God, have come to a place where they have stopped, and they've decided, I'm not going any farther for God than this, and I have had the same unsettled feeling that Moses had this day. I'd like to preach on this title. I trust that you're taking notes. If you would, my title is The Price You Pay for Not Going All the Way. Again, The Price You Pay for Not Going All the Way. Maybe there is someone here tonight, and Brother Carlson, I've gotten saved. I've been baptized. I've joined the church. I'm faithful to the church. Is there somewhere where you have drawn a line in your heart and said, God, I won't go any farther than that? And I say, there is a price you pay when you don't go all the way. Let's look at it tonight. Let's see what kind of price these two tribes paid. If you would, look, if you would, in Numbers 32 and verse 5. Again, Numbers 32 and verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. I don't have to tell you that when the day that you got saved, you got a good deal. Do you know when you trusted Christ as your Savior, maybe at that moment you didn't fully understand all that you got possession of. But the longer you're saved, and the more Bible you read, you realize that was a great day. Listen, the day you got saved, all of your sins were forgiven. The day that you got saved, you were promised a home in heaven. The day that you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity, moved up in and set up residence in your heart. The day that you got saved, a Bible that maybe you already had or a Bible that soon you were going to be given, you had the Spirit of God in your heart that was going to teach you what that book already says. I'm saying we wouldn't have enough time tonight to mention all of the things that you got the moment that you got saved. But you know, in addition to all those things, you know what else that you got when you got saved? You got a brand new family. Now, if your family that you were born into is a blessing, God bless you for it. But you know, there's a lot of folks that get saved, and they had a difficult family and a hard family, an ungodly family. But the moment that you got saved, God placed you into the family of God. And what a blessing it is. God, no doubt, put you into a local church, and for the first time, you found friends that loved you. Amazing. You found friends that cared for you. You found friends that prayed for you. What a blessing it is to be in a house of God with people that love God and even love you. What a blessing it is. I don't know how many of you like sports. You know what? If you like sports, that's fine. But you know what? It's one thing. You're not going to call ping pong a sport. You can set up the other half of that table and you can bang that ping pong ball just by yourself. And you do that for about 15 minutes and you're done. But you put that table down, you get another ping pong player on the other end, and that makes that one-dimensional game so much different. Do you know, you can take a basketball, and with a basketball, you can shoot hoops on your driveway, and it's okay, you can do that for so long. But you get five or six other buddies to come over to your same driveway, and you have six people playing that exact same thing. It makes that game so much different. You could take a softball and throw it up in the air and hit with the bat and try to hit it after the, and then try to hit it the third time and try to finally hit that ball, and then you have to lay the bat down and go get the ball back again. It's okay. But you get another 14, 15 people that come out and play ball with you. Boy, that's a different game. I'm saying to you, you can be a Christian on your way to heaven because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there's something about getting together with other Christians. Listen, you could take that hymnal and sing those hymns at home. Sure you can. And you probably ought to. But you get together with another 100, 200 people and sing those same hymns. It'll lift you off. It'll lift your wig right off your head. It'll do something about it. I'm saying to you that when you got saved, God gave you a family, a Christian family, the family of God to be in. You know, the very first thing that happens, the first price you pay when you don't go all the way, the very first thing, and when you write this down in your notes, the very first thing that you pay when you don't go all the way, it divides you from obedient Christians. It divides you from obedient Christians. So we know that when they finally did come to that Jordan River, we know that Joshua was leading them. I'll be Joshua. We know that Aaron is no longer the high priest. They now have Eleazar to be the, guess what? You get to be the high priest. Can you stand right here? Won't need your Bible. You've got it memorized anyway. I'm Joshua. He's who? Eleazar. He's the high priest. Okay. I'll take you. You don't need your Bible. You got it memorized. If you stand right, this is Benjamin. You are? No, you're Benjamin. There we go. This is Gad. Can I bore you for a second? This is Gad. Now remember, who didn't want to go over? Help me. What two tribes didn't want to go over? Reuben and Gad. Guess what? You're not going over. So you know what? We've come to the Jordan River. Now I picked men because I know that they're nimble and they're athletic because we are going to cross over the Jordan River. And so we get along great on this side of the river. I mean, we are anxious to find the perfect will of God. We're going that way. We're enjoying God providing and supplying everything we do. So we say, listen, gentlemen, that's where God wants us to go. I'm going. You coming? He's crossing over. You coming? He's crossing over. You coming? No, you're not. Remember, Gad's not coming. Gad is perfectly satisfied being here. In fact, he asked Moses, I'd just soon stay here. So because he'd just as soon stay there, you know what's happened? It's divided him from other Christians. Now, we still get along well because we're still together. We still have good fellowship. But he no longer enjoys the fellowship that he once had with us. Because he decided not to go all the way. Do you know how many Christians, stay right there, gentlemen, you are going to get to stand for a while. Do you know how many Christians decide, I've had enough of this old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing, shingle-pulling, window-rattling, King James stuff. I've just had all that I can take of this. I'm not going any further for God. And so they stop. Gad stopped. But you know, you've got other Christians that they are open and their hearts are sensitive to God. And the first thing, the first way you pay when you won't go all the way, it divides you from other Christians. Now, I don't know, I've not mentioned it yet, but the nation that lived on that east side of the Jordan River, that nation was the Ammonites. And so you're all Ammonites. Is that fair? You are all Ammonites. Let's try that one again. You are all Ammonites. Now, I am Joshua. That's right. You are Eliezer. And you are, no, you're Zach. You're Benjamin. Do you know what? We have good fellowship because we're still together. Not him. You know, now he has fellowship with the Ammonites. You ever known someone in a church like that? Preacher, I'm not going to come 3 times a week anymore. I understand if you have work. I understand if you can't get, I understand that stuff. But a lot of folks that are laying out Wednesday night, it's not because they're at work. They just don't want this 3-time-a-week Christianity that it seems other people want. Where would you rather be on a Wednesday night than in the house of God with other of God's people? What would be more important than that? Do you know that there's a lot of churches canceling Sunday night services? Now, if you are, just duck. What would you rather do on a Sunday night than be with other Christians on Sunday night? What could possibly have a higher priority than that? And there's a lot of churches, they're justifying it, and they're justifying it because their icon that they're looking to, they've done that. But folks, that's not the trend of God's people. God's people just go all the way. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Folks, we're doing more for God. We're not trying to figure how to do less for God. But I say the first price you pay when you don't go all the way is it divides you from other Christians. Now, here's what's going to happen with this young man. And you are Gad. Gad starts missing Wednesday night, and the rest of his church family says, hey, we missed you, Gad. And he said, yeah, something came up. Well, that might be one Wednesday, but when it's 2 Wednesdays and 3 Wednesdays, something's always coming up. And it's not long before something is always coming up Wednesday, and now things start coming up Sunday night. Until it's not long before it's, you know, it's some people are bang on there all the time, then it's hit and miss, and then it's miss and miss. And so his buddies come to him the first time he misses. Hey, we missed you. Where were you at? Well, something came up. Well, you keep that up for a couple months, and they're going to stop asking him. Folks, you do what you want to do. You know what he starts saying? Because he's been hanging around Tim Hortons, I guess. He's been hanging around Tim Hortons instead of hanging around the people of God. You know what? The people of God stop asking him, where were you? Because they know he just doesn't want to be at the house of God. You know what he starts saying? They don't care anymore. They're not very loving. No, no. You made a decision not to go all the way. Gentlemen, you have a seat just for a couple minutes. You will be crossing that river again. Pastor, what's the price you pay when you don't go all the way? The first thing is it divides you from obedient Christians. And I'm saying to you that that David said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Maybe David wrote that after years he had spent running from King Saul. Maybe David wrote that after years, during the time of the judges, when everyone was doing their own thing and nobody served God. Maybe David, when he wrote that, he thought of the terrible testimony that Abraham and Lot, and there was disunion amongst them. And David said, behold, it is good and it is pleasant. I wonder, is that your attitude this week? Well, I know it's hot, but sure is good to be with God's people. And it sure is pleasant to be with God's people. You know, the folks that drew a line and said, I'm not going any further, they're not saying that anymore. They found a different group of people that they'd rather be with. Brother Carlson, what's the price you pay when you don't go all the way? First of all, it divides you from obedient Christians. Could I give you a second thing if I could? Look there in Numbers 32, verse 7. Numbers 32, 7, and this is Moses responding. Well, let's start in verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given? Would you write the second thing down? When you don't go all the way with God, it discourages other Christians. It just discourages them. Now, gentlemen, I need you up here again. Same guys, same name, same spot, right here. So it's time to cross the Jordan. That's where God wants us. That's where we're going. Is that where you're going? Let's do it. Let's go for it. Is that where you're going? Go for it. Let's go. Is that where you're going? No. Do you know when he decided no? Do you know us that are all excited about going God's way did at that moment? We're discouraged. Some of the churches that are represented here tonight, you have visitors coming on a regular basis. You have new people getting saved and getting baptized and joining. What an encouragement that is to any church. But I think maybe there are some churches here that you've had people that have been with you for a long time, and one by one, for no reason whatsoever, they're deciding, we don't want to keep coming anymore. You know how discouraging that is? Gentlemen, you have a seat. You know how discouraging that is? And I'm saying to you that Joshua, when he heard that Gad wasn't coming over, Joshua, really? I'm sure that Eliezer, when he heard, really? I'm sure that Benjamin, when he heard that Gad, what, really? You will discourage the hearts of other people. Ever been discouraged? You know, sometimes we get discouraged. You know that first-time visitors to a church, they might come discouraged. But that's our job when they step in that door, is to encourage them. Thank God that they came, and thank them that they came. Do you know that folks thinking about baptism? Now, you say, well, Pastor, I got saved and I got baptized within 30 minutes. Good for you. Do you know that some folks, when you tell them after they get saved, the next step is baptism? Oh, whoa. I had a man in our church, and you'd have thought he could take it on the world. But you know, he couldn't swim. And he was afraid I was going to drown him. And I said, brother, now that you're saved, the very next step is to get baptized. He said, what's that? I said, well, we take you into water, and I ask if you trust the Lord as your Savior, and yes, and upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his Christ's death. And he said, how long am I under? And I said, just a moment, just until you're wet. He said, do we have to do that today? I said, no, but we have to do it. Little children, preacher, can I get baptized? I said, sure. And so I said, let's bring one of your parents and you into my office, and we'll talk about it. And so we begin to talk to this child about baptism, and I said, you know what? I said, if you have trusted Christ, I said, have you? And so they give a testimony. And I said, now that you've trusted Christ, that is your next step. And so I said, let me explain what baptism is. And I'm kidding with them. I said, you know what? When we get you under that water, we have to keep you under until all the sin has been taken care of. Oh, the tear. I said, just kidding, just kidding. You know, when people are thinking of getting baptized, some need a little bit of encouragement. You know, when folks that have never gone out and shared the gospel with lost people are challenged to do that, they're going to need a little bit of encouragement. And the preacher preaches a hard message. And sometimes they're easy to take, and sometimes they're hard to swallow. You find someone in the church that's hard to swallow, they're going to need a little bit of encouragement. I'm saying to you tonight, when you don't go all the way, it discourages other Christians. They who are doing good stuff and great stuff for God, they are going to have second thoughts. I don't know if you do any street preaching. Our church does street preaching. If you've ever done street preaching, it's street preaching. And somebody for the very first time trying it, they need a little bit of encouragement. Now, again, I want to drive this point home about being discouraged because others are not doing it. Look there in Numbers chapter 32. Look there in verse number 1. Follow this, if you would, please. Notice who didn't want to go all the way. Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, two tribes. Look at verse 2. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben, two tribes. They didn't want to go all the way. Look at verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben. Look there in verse number 25. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses. Look there, if you would, in verse 29. And Moses said unto them of the children of Gad and the children of Reuben. Look there in verse number 31. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, we have now seen it six times up to verse 31 that it was children of Gad and the children of Reuben that said, we are not going to go all the way. Look at verse 33. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, and unto half the tribe of Manasseh. Do you know that half of the tribe of Manasseh has not been mentioned once in chapter 32 until you get to verse 33? What does that mean? And Reuben said, we're not going in. And Gad said, we're not going in. There were some very impressionable people that were listening to that. It was a half tribe of Manasseh. They heard Reuben said, we're not going in. Gad said, we're not going in. And some of those people in Manasseh said, well, if they're not going in, and we've always had the highest respect for them, maybe we shouldn't go in either. And it doesn't even come to the surface until verse 33. But now for the first time, it's not just two tribes that aren't going in. Now it's 2.5 tribes that are not going in. If you don't go all the way, it will discourage other Christians. But you know, if you go all the way, it'll encourage them. It'll bless their hearts. You say, oh, Pastor, I've never done this before. That's fine. Why don't you just take a step and trust God? I'm preaching tonight on the price you pay when you don't go all the way. Very first thing is when you don't go all the way, it divides you from obedient Christians. The second thing, when you don't go all the way, it discourages other Christians. I give you a third thing. Look there in Numbers 32 and verse 16. Numbers 32 and verse 16. The Bible says, and they came near unto him. So they're coming to Moses, and they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place and our little ones and dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Wouldn't you have thought by the time that they realized that my decision's going to divide me from the rest of this nation, and my decision is going to discourage the rest of those from going on for God, wouldn't you have thought that the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad said, listen, Moses, we're wrong. We made a big mistake. We're going all the way. Everybody makes mistakes. You would have thought that they would have shaken their head and said, this is a bad decision. But instead of admitting that it was a bad decision, they went up to Moses and said, Moses, we got a plan. He didn't like their first plan. What's your plan? He said, we're going to build houses and we're going to build sheepfolds and we're going to build barns and we're going to put up some fences. And we're going to build places that we are going to live in, and we are going to leave our wives and leave our children here, and us men are going to cross over into the promised land, and we are going to fight to conquer that promised land, and when that victory is finally realized, then we men are going to come back and we are going to join our wives and our children. And I think Moses looked at them. Are you crazy? Could I give you a third thing that when you decide that you're not going to go all the way, the third thing is it damages your family. It damages your family. There's many families that are here tonight. God bless you for being here. Many men and maybe even women have taken off the whole week of work to be at camp meeting. You probably have a limited number of weeks that you could take off, but you decided that this was important for you and your family. Good choice. May I say to you, sir, that if at some point you decide that you're not going to go all the way for God, it's going to hurt your family. Hasn't it been sweet watching all these little children? Man, they're having the time of their life. And they say, well, Pastor, they didn't really come for the preaching. A lot of the adults didn't come for the preaching. I'm glad you're here for it. But you know what? Your children and my children are the product of the decisions that parents make. And so here, these men said, I'll tell you what, we're going to get our wives and our children set up here, and we will cross over. Some of you have a date on the top of that page there, in Numbers 32. Can anyone give me a date? Some Bibles have dates on top. Anyone give me a date? Real loud, real loud. 1452, right there. If you're taking notes, 1452. So they said in 1452 that we're going to set up our families here and we're going to cross over and we're going to stay over there until we get the full victory. Do you know when the full victory was finally realized? Keep your hand at Numbers 32. Look, if you would, to Joshua chapter 22. Joshua, so Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter number 22 is when they finally realized that they had conquered that promised land. Look there in Joshua 22 and verse number 1. Joshua 22 and verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye and get ye unto your tents and unto the land of your possessions. Anyone have a date for Joshua chapter number 22? 1444. Would you write that down? 1444. So these men abandoned their wife and their children in 1452. And they finally returned to their wife and their children in 1444 B.C., if you do the math, how many years is that? 8 years. They were gone 8 years from their family. Do you know what kind of damage the devil can do on your family if you're gone, sir, for 8 years? I don't like being gone for 8 days. I can't imagine being gone for a whole month. I know you're doing it for the ministry. I understand that. I'm saying when you decide I'm not going to go all the way, somehow it's going to damage your family. And I don't have time to share the illustrations, but in the 33 years that I pastored, how many parents have got upset about something, and in response to getting upset, they put the brakes on. They were doing so well for God. They put the brakes on and said, that's it, I'm done. The blessing of staying in a church for not just a year or two and not just 10 or 15, but staying 33 years, is you get to see the results of decisions that have been made. And oh my, I could take you to homes in my city where God allows me to pastor, and we could knock on the door, and they would open the door, Pastor Carlson, what brings you here? And if you walked into that home, you would think that those people need someone to tell them the gospel. That's how far they're removed from living for God. You know why? You ought to live for God and go all the way. Not only for you, but for your children and for your grandchildren. I say to you, the price you pay when you don't go all the way, third thing is it damages your family. You know, I think of the Bible character Lot. We know that Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and Abraham and Lot during those early chapters, chapter 12, they had a good thing going. Abraham had a walk with God, and because Lot was connected to Abraham, Lot benefited from Abraham's walk with God. But one day, Abraham's cattle and servants became such a large commodity, and Lot's cattle and servants, that there was strife between those two. And Abraham, being the bigger Christian, says, Lot, we can't keep this up. The world is watching the strife that we have. I'll tell you what, Lot, do you think maybe the best thing we should do is split up and go separate ways? You know what Lot should have done? No. That's never a good thing, to separate from other believers. I'll do it to fix it. But instead of that, he said, that's a good idea. Married daughters. But before that chapter is done, it all started when he weighed one bad decision. In Numbers chapter 32, make it verse number 18. Numbers chapter, look at the fourth thing. Numbers 32, verse 18. The Bible says, is fallen to us on this side, Jordan. When you make a decision that you won't go all the way for God, what means that God has planned for you for all of eternity and not on things of the earth. And they said, we're just really not too worried. Folks, there's a lot of things that we can do in this life and we earn the result. When you have a ministry for God in your church, you get those lost souls who get saved, and some of them may get into church, and what a blessing. He said, preacher, I've done soul winning. I've been in verse number 8. 2 John verse number 8, look to your reward stored up in heaven for service and ministry, that you can actually lose part of the rewards of the next life. Worried about an inheritance there. All we're worried about is an inheritance. We really like this land. If we obey God and go over that more than just that land of Canaan, as you check that stretches from that Mediterranean all the way to the Euphrates River, I'm asking you tonight, go all the way. You say, oh, Brother Carlson, there's such opposition for doing that. Wealthy parents that she had sent her to this finishing school. It was an all girl and went down the aisle, and that night she trusted Christ as her Savior and decided that she would dedicate her life into missionary service, and she was so excited. And when she got that message, she obeyed her father, and child of your stratum in life, and he said to her, you'll have to get this religious with a heavy heart up the stairs of that beautiful home. And she knew, and she realized that she either had to say yes to God and no to the world. And she went down the stairs with her suitcases looking at that beautiful home. She walked past that room, that drawing room, that room she could play a piano. And she began to sing a song that was in the hymn book. And all I've sought and hoped and known. And she went out into the hallway and she picked up her two suitcases. And he stopped her at the door. And he said, honey, your family, your home, and your culture. But she was determined to make that decision. I wonder tonight.